Welcome. This is Julia Barbaro, host of the Julia and Gino podcast. I'm here with the co-founder of Jake and Gina, my co-host and husband, Gino Barbaro.
Good morning, Julia. Good morning. How are you?
I am great. It's a little awkward this morning because we are in different locations. I'm not sure what I think.
Well, expand upon that a little bit more. What do you mean?
So I'm home and you're downtown St. Augustine in the office and in your work office, your official work office. So it's a little strange to be in the room by myself talking to you.
There's no one elbowing me this morning telling me to stop talking.
I don't know what to do.
Just go like this. For those of you on YouTube,
Yeah, if you want to watch the YouTube version, it might be more entertaining.
Today, we're going to be talking about a story that happened several years ago. And I've titled it, The Opportunities Rising from the Ashes. And as I tell the story, I get sort of a PTSD because I think about it and there's so many emotions that ran through me that day, Julia. And I remember it so vividly because it really affected the family's life, our life, the way I looked at things. And now when I look back at it, the reason why I want to share this story with everybody is every time you're set with a problem, you can look at that problem in one of two ways. Has its own problem and I'm stuck with it and you can be the victim person that I was for several months after it, or you can reflect back upon it and look at all the opportunities that came from that problem. And for me, the opportunities were boundless, but I just know in the moment it was like, wow, what am I going to do here? I am so afraid. I don't know the future. And reason why I also wanted to share this story was right now the economy around us is starting to implode. Banks are failing. We're going into a recession. And we've been expanding upon that for the last couple of years. We've been waiting for this as investors. But right now, in the moment, the uncertainty, the unknown, the fear, you can look at it as a problem, and it is a big problem. But what are the opportunities that can come from the problem? That's why I want to share the story with the listeners today.
I'm excited for you to share this story because, you know, you are the victim in this story. And so I can just look at it from the outside. And, you know, it's easy to look at something and be like, yeah, it's not that bad of a, you know, it's not that big of a deal. It's not so bad, you know. And also, of course, because I'm not the true victim, I can see the humor in the story and find all the funny things that I thought were going on at the same time. But it's important to remember is like when your spouse is going through something or your, you know, anyone in your family, someone that you're close with, it's really hard as the other person trying to figure out, well, where am I in this story? Like, how am I making a difference? How am I encouraging or giving the right advice? Because a lot of times we don't know what to do if we're the other part of the story. We're the other side. We're not sure what our place is. And Gino's going to talk about it a little bit, but you know, even the opportunity that came out of it, looking back, we could pick it apart and look at the little things that happen and laugh a little bit, you know, and be upset a little bit at the same time. But it's important to realize, even when you're going through something, as hard as it is, as difficult as it is, someone else is also being affected. It could be one person, it could be your whole entire family. Because a lot of times we really think we're going through something by ourselves. And Gino, I remember when you were going through this, I'm sure in your head, you're like, this is on me. I got to take care of this by myself. I can't ask for help. I can't look weak or look like I'm having a difficult time. And that's a lot of the times we do that. We take on all the burden and we think we're in it alone, but I guarantee you're not. And all listening, everyone listening, just remember you're going through a difficult time or you had a difficult time or you will have one. Know that other people are also in it with you. Take it away. I'm excited to hear the story again.
There's so much that I could say there right then and there.
Go ahead. Say it. This is just me and you podcast.
One of your strengths now, as opposed to back then, is you show a little more empathy now.
I do.
Back then, I used to, you know, go through issues with my health. My back was hurting me. She'd be like, it's okay. You'll be okay. Just suck it up.
I was trying to toughen you up.
You were trying to toughen me up as if having five kids, a business, working 60 hours a week, I wasn't tough enough. I just needed a little bit of love.
You didn't have the kids. Just be clear.
Everyone, this is how you make excuses and you squirm and you know that you were wrong back then. I'm just saying.
No,
spouse,
I was.
Have a little empathy towards your spouse.
When you go through
and on the flip side, I'll put it upon myself. My wife went through some pregnancies, several. I could have shown more empathy then. So I understand she's probably getting back at me going, you wimp, your back is bothering me. I went through 5 months of pain and that
5 months.
Well, I mean, the first couple of months were probably, you know, you had the lulls.
We should have a podcast on just child raising.
But once again, it's about you. It's not about me. Huh? I'm trying to tell a story here. August 10th, 2011. We had just last couple of years been struggling with the restaurant, to be honest. We weren't doing very well. And it was a nice sunny day in New York. I'm in the kitchen and I'm sitting there cleaning chicken. And then all of a sudden I hear this poof. And I know instantaneously what that sound is. And I run to the grill, the cooking line, and I see it's on fire. And I scream to Omar, Omar, get the milk. Echa la leche la grilla. Put the milk on the grill. So Omar does that. The fire goes out on the grill. But unfortunately, Omar used so much oil that the fire got really intensified and went up through the hood and through the suppression system and all the way out of the hood outside, right? It traveled all the way. It was a grease fire. And I remember saying to myself, the first thing I thought was, I've been doing this for over 20 years. Is that how my legacy is going to end? The very first thing, because I'm like, why didn't the fire suppression system work? What do I do next? So I run outside. I grab a ladder, put a ladder up against the building. I run up there, climb the ladder, and I'm looking at the fire coming out of the hood on the side. And I'm like, what do I do next? My first inclination was to run down the ladder, grab the garden hose, go back up that ladder, and start pouring water and shooting water into the hood. Now, a lot of you out there may say, hey, that wasn't smart. It's a grease fire. I remember my neighbor next door to me, his name was Richie. He owned the printing press shop next door. And he was in the back and he's like, Gino, just continue to do that. And the reason why I mentioned Richie's name is he's a firefighter in the Bronx. So the irony is I have a firefighter right next door and I'm shooting water. And I remember the heat from the fire. And the soot, I had a white shirt. I had soot all over me from the fire. About a minute later, somebody from the fire department gets there, climbs up the ladder and says, Gino, you got to get off the roof. This roof might collapse. You need to get off. And I calmly but sternly turned to him and I said, I am not getting off this fucking roof until you get your guys here. And by the way, you see the back of the restaurant? That's where I need the truck. So I was already in thought mode. I actually had so much clarity. I knew exactly what I had to do. My life was on the line. I was afraid, but I was able to act because I needed to act out of necessity. Pull the truck in back of the restaurant so we can shoot the water straight up. He runs back down. 1 minute later, because the volunteer fire department is literally down the street, I hear, roo-roo. So my heart starts racing. I'm like, okay, good. This hasn't been going on that long. Maybe we can save something. Maybe we can save stuff here. They come out, the truck gets pulled into the parking lot, and they dump the water out of the truck. And I said to myself, you've got to be kidding me. They come back up, and they say, Gino, you've got to get off the roof now. I said, you didn't listen to me the first time. I'm not getting off this roof until you guys come and extinguish this fire. And at that time, I was covered in soot. I was really hot, and I was just full of adrenaline. I'm still shooting. What is a little garden hose? It's so tiny. There's such a little volume of water. I think I'm doing something. I don't know whether I did or I didn't. I just know I was called to be doing that. Finally, they hook up the hose down the street to the fire hydrant. It's about 100 feet down the street. They come back up. They come in. They shoot the water. I climb down. As I climb down, go into the parking lot, a lot of people have amassed there. They go into the restaurant after it's done. And as I'm there walking around the volunteer fire department, to them it was training day. To me, it was like end of business, end of life day. They're poking holes in the ceiling to make sure that there's no smoke or any fire that's trapped into the rafters. And every poke is like a jab to my heart. Because I'm saying to myself, I can't believe it's going to end like this. This can't be it. It just can't be the end. And as that's happening, I walk outside. I go into the parking lot. And I see Father Williams out there, a priest. And he says to me, Gino, are you okay? I said, sort of. He saw how dirty I was. And he turns to me, half joking, half serious. He says to me, where am I going to get my broccoli robbed now? And I've never really felt like punching a priest. That was one of the times I felt like punching a priest. I just couldn't believe he made that joke. And as I'm thinking there, I'm afraid. I'm fearful. I don't know what the next steps are. And I remember the day, August 10th. August 10th is St. Lawrence's feast day. And for those of you that don't know who St. Lawrence is, St. Lawrence is the patron saint of cooks. So as I look back at it, I just reflected upon, you know, why did this happen? Why did God allow this to happen? What was the reason for this? And I remember insurance adjusters coming that day, getting overwhelmed by people. And I said to myself, it doesn't look that bad. We're going to get back on the horse. We're going to open this place up in the next 2 weeks. How delusional was I? 2 weeks later, we have a hurricane in New York, which slows down the progress. We lose power. And I remember for the next 3 months, we were closed. I would go into the restaurant every day, trying to be the GC of the job, trying to push the job, having the thoughts of, are my employees going to get paid? Am I going to get any kind of insurance money? Will the employees come back when we reopen? How long is it going to take? I've never dealt with insurance. And I remember that and saying to myself, going in there every day, Julia, and I remember just being depressed. And that's what fear did to me. And I didn't know how to act. There were some really great things that came out of it.
I want to cut in there for a second because I think it's important. A couple of things, and I say this before, is that there's another side to the story, and there always is. First of all, your childhood dream of being a firefighter came real. So I'm sure a lot of guys are like, oh, that's awesome. You're on the roof putting a fire out. How incredible. What an opportunity that is in and of itself. Jokingly aside, I'm kidding, but at the same time, not really, because you even told me how awesome that was. And like I said, the fear that you had was different for me. And I tell you that because a lot of times, especially in a relationship like we have where you are making money and I'm taking care of the kids, I had complete trust that whatever happened, I wasn't worried about it. Why? Because, you know, I knew you would provide for us no matter what. However that happened, I wasn't worried about it. And so I didn't have that worry of how are we going to make money. But a little something that I'm sure the listeners would enjoy is that a couple weeks prior to this incident, you had gotten, everyone knows that we're pretty faith-based. We go to mass every week. We're, you know, our faith is like super important in our life. And I noticed at the time, we had 5 kids at the time, and you had gotten busy. The restaurant was very busy. You worked late. Saturday nights, you were coming home late. Sunday morning, we would go to church, and sometimes you were tired. And completely understandable, but it went on a little bit too long. And I think sometimes when you let things go over time, you're just like, oh, that's right. One more week, no big deal. And at one point I just got exhausted. I'm like, I don't want you to go to church for me. I don't want you to go to church because you're, you know, being a good role model. I want you to know the importance of it. And so I said, God, you take care of it. I said, I don't want to ask him anymore. Whatever you want, he needs more time. And so what happened 2 weeks later is you got your time. and sometimes I feel a little responsible because like, oh, maybe that was me praying that God would give you more time. But that's what happened. And, you know, maybe it was a year later when I realized that, wow, maybe that was what a blessing that was for our family. And we don't even realize it. And sometimes in the midst of that struggle and that difficult time, we don't realize the blessing that's happening. And the time that you spent with us and like 3 months of literally being home with the kids. And we had parties, we went to church, we went to extra things. We did so many extra things that we normally wouldn't have gotten to do because of this horrible thing that happened.
Join Jake and Gino on May 23rd at 8 p.m. as they discuss the top 3 pitfalls to avoid in multifamily property management. With over $260 million in assets under management, Jake and Gino are the leading experts on investing and managing in the multifamily space. Don't miss the opportunity to learn from 2 of the premier leaders in multifamily. Go to jakeandgino.com/webinar to register today.
So some of the things that you allude to, I did get three month vacation. It didn't feel like it at the time because the stress, the uncertainty, maybe I should have lived more in the moment. And we did a lot of amazing things. The opportunities that came out of it, everyone ended up getting paid. I ended up keeping all the employees. I ended up opening a brand new restaurant. The kitchen was redone. I had new security cameras, new fire suppression system. Everything was upgraded. Man, it was just a new feel. It felt like it was rejuvenated. We needed to do a lot of that work. So maybe God just said, hey, I'm going to cut you a break here. And I remember it was scary because the apartments upstairs weren't rented out for a few months. The kitchen wasn't open. We had to throw away so much food. Then the reopening of it was another stress. You had to start from the beginning again and open everything up. I think the biggest opportunity for me was realizing that I couldn't continue on in the restaurant and have that as my sole source of income. I became very serious at that point because I was blaming the recession, the economy, on really looking at real estate. And I had met Jake a couple of years earlier. He was in the process of moving down to Knoxville, Tennessee at this point. And I said to myself, excellent. Jake, when you get down there, we need to start looking at real estate. And that is when we started seriously our partnership when I reopened from the fire. Because after we reopened in the fire, I don't know if my wife remembers this. Literally a week and a half later, we had this massive storm that knocked out power. An October storm with snow that knocked out power. I actually went to go trick-or-treating that night because the restaurant was closed. We had so much food prepared. I threw away over $15,000 of food into the dumpster, collected some of it from insurance, but all the work to do it again. So can you see the problem? And then another problem. And I'm like, and if I had known Julie was praying for this, let me tell you something. I don't even know if we'd be married still right now.
Okay, so let's just be clear. So this happened how many years ago? Do the math.
2011, baby.
Okay. So 2011, and I'm going to say that I told you probably last year, so probably 2022.
And I've obviously,
and I think that's funny because you know what I mean. It's kind of like you want to say these things, but at the same time, you know, when you're going through something, and someone's like, "Oh, don't worry, it's all going to work out fine," and you're just like, "That's not
so
what
annoying.
I need to hear."
Exactly,
it's annoying.
Yes,
yeah, don't do that. I don't like that. So I think it's good to give that person time. To give that person, see, like I said in the beginning, when we're going through difficult times and there's always a person there, we could ask them what we need. We could tell them what we need in a sense where, you know, like we always talk about this, Gino, when something's going wrong in your day with work or whatever, and I'm there, my first thought is, my first reaction is, okay, how can I fix this? How can I fix this problem for you so you don't have it? And it's very, I really have to hold back sometimes because sometimes I do know how to fix it. It might be different than what you're used to, but just as a mom, as, you know, just to running the house, like there are things that I do understand and do know, and I try to put that out there, but there are times where you don't need that right now. And so a lot of times we have to remember, let me see what that person is looking for. Because if they're going through something right now, I want to react in the way that's helpful to them at the moment. So maybe in 6 months after that was going on, I could have said, hey, Gino, by the way, look at all these amazing things that happened coming out of this situation. But there was always a right time and there's always a not so good time to talk about these things to a person. The worst thing you can say is, oh, you'll be fine. Don't worry. Something good will come out of it. But there is something that I do instead of, because, you know, growing up with certain people in my life or just certain people around, a lot of people would be like, oh my gosh, why is this happening? And they would get so frustrated with all their issues, all their family issues, their struggles, you know, losing a job, not finding a job. Why does this always have to happen to me? And I always hated that. There's something about it that I always found to be not so helpful or something. And so I started wondering, I wonder why this is happening. And it does change it. You're using the same words, but you're actually curious and you're kind of wondering. And you know what I mean? Do you get what I'm saying? Do you know?
I do. And to expand upon what happened after, you know, you talk about that. Next following year, we had Hurricane Sandy. Thought that was going to wipe out the business. That year also, we get audited by the state. I thought that was going to wipe out the business. So this is not all sunshine and rainbows from the very beginning. This has been a couple year process. But
oh, and we had a baby. I think we also had a baby.
No, that was 2014. Not yet. You're jumping ahead, right? And well, we did have an ectopic pregnancy in between that. So I was going through that as well. But I was trying to process that in my own way, and it's still hard to process to this day.
Sure.
And I just remember. Going through that, and you look back at it now and you say, well, okay, the blessing that I took away from the fire was it really motivated me to say to myself, I need to do something different. I'm doing the same thing. I'm getting the same results. What do I need to do differently? And fortunately for myself at that point, I had been getting educated. I had been doing mentorship. I'd been doing a lot, but I hadn't taken the proper action. We always say education times action equals results. I was getting massive education. I wasn't taking a ton of action, and that fire led me to that action. And ironically enough, I didn't find a deal the next day or the next week or the next month. It took Jake and I 18 months to find that first deal. But that fire and the thought of that fear and that uncertainty, I did not want to leave that to chance to anyone else. I wanted to take that upon myself, and I wanted to take responsibility for that. 18 months is a long time to find a deal, but after that 18 months, Jake and I found our second deal. And then 6 months after that, we found our third deal. All in the while of Hurricane Sandy, of getting audited, of the uncertainty. The economy was bad back then. The economy was terrible. We were not making money at the restaurant. We were not doing well. And that's what prompted me. And the reason why I wanted to share the story with you today is we're seeing what's going on with the economy right now. It's starting to fundamentally shift. We can all go out there and we can blame the Federal Reserve for not raising interest rates enough. We can blame the president and the cabinet and all the politicians who are completely and utterly incompetent, useless. We can blame the banks for not being capitalized enough. That's all true. But if I blame God for the fire, or if I blame Omar for putting too much oil, that's not going to create a solution. You're only fueling the fire of the problem. What is the opportunity that you see going on in today's economy right now? There's going to be massive shifts. They're going to have to pull back interest rates. Asset prices are going to come down. When that happened back in 2008, I wasn't properly prepared for it. I am prepared for it now. And I have to think that a lot of the listeners out there who are buying real estate, who have been complained over the last 3 or 4 years, there's no deals out there. Well, guess what? There's going to be deals coming out there right now. Are you prepared? Are you able to look back and have a conscious reflection of what's happened over the last couple of years and be honest with yourself? It took me years to look back at that problem and say, wow, that was a big problem. That could have wiped out my entire family. That could have wiped out the legacy of what I'd worked with for the past 20 years. But I look back at it, and I look back at all the opportunities that came from that problem. We have problems right now in the economy. What are the problems? Let's diagnose them. Let's learn. I've actually started reading economics books right now the last couple of weeks to figure out what's going on as far as the insolvency of banks, as far as where the opportunities are. And I think that's what we all should be doing right now, seeing where the problem is, but seeing where the opportunities lie in those problems.
Yeah, I you know, you use the word problem a lot, and I not you, I'm just saying in general, a lot of people say, oh, it's a problem, it's a situation we're in. And I encourage everyone because this is a reminder for myself, is every situation that we're in, whether it's super difficult or not, just know that there's something to be learned. And again, I don't want to be that person to say it's going to be okay, but there's always a lesson. There's always something in that situation, you know, like for instance, Gino's story, you know, he met people that he normally wouldn't. If he had opportunities with Jake, he wouldn't have had. It would have been very, very different. The experience that he had, again, you're taking all your experiences from our past. A lot of times we try to avoid our past and it's really difficult. And the difficult situations, we just try to shove them aside. My gosh, there's so many lessons that if we just go back and think about all the situations that we were in, and the struggles that we had, there are so many lessons that we didn't even notice. So I just encourage you to look back at a really difficult time in your life and say, what did I learn? What are the things that I actually took out of that? Those life experiences that I got that I wouldn't have had I not gone through that. Maybe I could help someone else with the similar situation. You know, I met someone that I wouldn't have met. I had an opportunity that I wouldn't have had. Because a lot of times we do dwell on the difficult part and what what came out of it that was so hard and how we, it scarred us and all the things that we lost and all the money we lost. And I just encourage you to look at the other side of it, because there is something incredible. If we look at all our problems, even fights that we have with family, there's always something in there. It's like, wow, I wouldn't have thought about that if I hadn't gone back and looked. So I just encourage you to just, you know, reflect a little bit on some issues that you've had in the past or maybe you're having now. And yes, of course, I don't mean ignore the hard parts. That's not what I mean, because of course we need to, you know, go through the troubles. We need to watch our family go through the hard parts and be there. Maybe be a little bit more kinder to our spouse if he goes through a harder time in the future. That's my lesson in it. But at the same time, there's always something good coming out of it. There's always some kind of blessing that's coming out. And a lot of times we miss it because we're so focused on the negative.
And this is one thing I would encourage everybody to do right now, today, which I wish I had done years ago. It took me a couple of years after the fire. Double down on your personal development. Double down. Take some courses on life coaching, on personal development, on mindset. Because if I had had that, it may have helped me go through the struggles a lot more. I may have been able to ask myself better questions, because the better questions that you ask yourself, you're going to get better answers. If I had said to myself while I'm going through it, what's the worst thing that can happen at this at this fire? And I mean, what was the worst thing that could have happened? Insurance didn't pay everything. I still would have reopened. I still would have gotten stuff closed, you know, finished up. And I look at that sometimes. I said, maybe I should have looked at it from that perspective. Because then when I went to coaching school years later, and that one of the reasons why was I was getting serious with Jake as the partnership and buying more assets and trying to figure out, being in the restaurant business for so many years, can I leave? Do I have the strength to leave that? And looking back at that situation, if I can survive a fire, if I can survive Hurricane Sandy, if I can survive the Great Recession, I can absolutely make that change. So for me, I just want to let everybody know, if you're out there, you're thinking about joining a mentorship, if you're thinking about looking into multifamily, that's what we do at Jake and Gino. Go to jakeandgino.com/apply. Apply to work with us, because right now there are going to be numerous opportunities out there right now. As people are fearful and they're pulling back from this recession, this is when we need to get serious. This is when the opportunities start coming. I mean, Warren Buffett says it's great. When people are greedy, you need to be fearful. And when people are fearful, you need to be greedy. And I think this is one of the opportunities in the next 12 to 18 months where we can really go out there and start adding assets and start, you know, creating wealth for our families. Any final words, Ms. Barbaro?
No, I just want to say again, this is a little awkward to be away from you doing a podcast with you.
It's not refreshing. I was going to use the word
refreshing.
I don't even know.
I'm not sure what I think. I do love this topic, because for many reasons, like I said, if we just look at the opportunities that are happening all the time, you know, there's no certainty. And a lot of times, you know, we talk about multifamily a lot. And a lot of people are like, no, my husband has a job, you know, it was very secure. And just like Gino said, he had a secure restaurant. He had it. He had all of it. It was, you know, his mom used to talk about how safe it was, keep it small. We have it here, you know, all in this one building. And look what happened. Mm-hmm. And so a lot of times we think our job is secure. Our finances are secure. Our health is secure. And, you know, we're trying to eat healthy. We're trying to exercise. Everything's good. And all of a sudden you get a diagnosis like, oh my gosh, maybe it's not as secure as I thought. And then you go through something difficult again, which of course we all have stories behind that. And again, that's my point. When everything's going perfect, we are like, oh, look, see, everything's fine. And then one little thing happens and it could really tear down your everything that you built. And all of a sudden you're like, oh my gosh, why is this happening? This is horrible. I don't know what to do. And then be in Gino's situation. But I just encourage you, like I said, there will be hard times, and maybe one of them is right now. Maybe you're going through a really great time, but there really isn't much that's secure. And that's why I just encourage you to change that mindset. Instead of saying everything's great, don't worry about it. Oh, something's happening now. What are we going to do? Look at the opportunity that you're in right now. There's always something good coming out of it. And sometimes it's really hard to see and it's a little foggy. But talk to people. You have people in your life that I think that a lot of us we forget about. But you just talk to people about it. Mm-hmm. You know, like Gino said, he has an unbelievable mentorship in the real estate world. And the people are incredible, so incredible that I actually take my Thursdays and talk to the women, you know, and I actually go on to his boot camps because the community is so incredible. And so we should all have that type of community in our lives that we could go to outside of our home, outside of our family, even outside of just our normal everyday life, that we can talk openly with these people. Because sometimes we need that outside voice. Sometimes it's too connected. They know too much about our personal life that it's hard to explain things. So I just encourage you to find a mentorship, find a group, find a community that you can talk with.
My wife is ultimately saying, employ the growth mindset. That's what it comes down to. Have a mindset where you want to continue to grow. And that's truly important. We really want to thank you for spending a few minutes with us today and listening to our story, sharing the trials and the tribulations that we went through. And I think ultimately we're all dealt a hand, as they say in poker. You're going to get that hand. What do you end up ultimately doing with it? It's not just the hand, but how you deal with that hand. I'm Gino. She's Julia. And we are Julia and Gino. Thanks, everyone.
Oh, boy. Thanks, everyone. I hope to see you next time.